If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And if you have not a heading in your Bible, it is talking about thanksgiving in the kingdom of God. Being thankful within the kingdom of God. Reading the Word of God. And in those days thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. We'll be speaking on the subject this morning for a few minutes. What happens next? Hold as long as they are dropped in the sea of love and anchored to the rock of Jesus Christ our Lord. What happens next? Is salvation the end of it? Or is there something else to follow? Since we have been saved, has God gone on vacation? Since we've been saved, is God slumbering or sleeping somewhere? Since the day we've been saved, has He went on a long journey? Since we've been saved, is God slack concerning His promises? Listen to Dr. Luke. As we try to answer those questions. In Acts 17:27, he talks about our God not only before but after we're saved. And Dr. Luke said that the Lord is not far from any one of us. He's within reach. He's within hearing distance. He's not far off. He's not asleep. For the psalmist in Psalms 121:3 and 4, tells us that He who keeps us will never slumber nor sleep. No, He's not taking a nap like some of us do. He's on the throne and He's concerned about us. He is not slack concerning His promises. Peter said that He is not slack concerning His promises. And he says why. And praise God for the why. Because it is His will that none perish, but that all come to repentance. Have you wondered why God hasn't already came? He hasn't came because it's His heart's desire for my loved one and your loved ones outside of the fellowship of God to accept Him as Lord and Savior before it's eternally too late. That's how come that God hasn't came yet. So then God is always concerned with us, even after we invite Him into our heart and are born again into the family of God. God doesn't forget us and turn us loose. First of all, we must remember that salvation was not brought about by mankind. It was not brought about by our efforts or by our giving or by anything else that we have done. Our salvation has been brought about by God. God who loved every one of us so much that He was willing to give His Son to die on Calvary's cross. That through Him, you and I might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. Yes? Isaiah, long before Christ came on the scene in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, listen to what he says. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The peace that man could have rested upon what Jesus Christ did. And what He did brings this peace. He died in your place. If the church will begin to realize that it should be every one of us that hung on that cross, not Jesus. But loving us, He gave Himself that you and I might have eternal life. And so Isaiah says this, He bore the sins of every one of us. What we have and what we are or what we will ever be, regardless of how high in stature, spiritually, physically, or mentally we become, you can, as Lisa sang, fall on your knees and thank God for it. Because all that we are, have, or ever will be comes from Almighty God. He's a gracious and loving God. He is a God of provision that provides for us. And so, what a pleasure that follows salvation. You see, John says something to us about salvation. He says, we are born to possess abundant life. Notice that word, child of God. Not life, but abundant life. A life that is born and nurtured and applied to the family of God through Jesus Christ. And so it is a life that is abundant because in that life, God is always present. I like those words that we say and we remember that scripture, but we don't remember it in the heart. We remember it in our mind. I will never, say never. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has not saved us and turned us loose. God is concerned about us. He is concerned enough to provide for us the enrichment of spiritual growth. And it all comes from the Father. And how thankful we ought to be. It is a great privilege. A great privilege beyond any imagination or thought that I might have to be able as a, well, I don't know what you'd call me, but as a country boy. Dad was a farmer and a coal miner all of his life. And yet, what a privilege that God, through His love, mercy, and grace, has enriched and provided that me with little knowledge is able to stand even today and preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a joy that it is. And so, only God can provide the necessity for any one of us to live an abundant life. You don't believe that? Examine yourself. Some of you have been, you are, or will be very sick sometime. Thank God for His healing presence. Many of us will have problems that will weigh us down. It'll feel like a ton or two has fallen upon us in our everyday life. But I say to you, if you're willing and I'm willing to trust God, He will see us through it. And not only will He see us through it, we can live abundantly in the midst of it. Now, preacher, I don't want to hear it. And I think of that my mother-in-law called last night and this morning. She is very, very sore and can hardly walk. And yet, and truly, I didn't expect her here today. But she came, but she didn't come for me. She came for God. And if it weren't for God, she wouldn't be here today. And so we're thankful that in the midst of our hurts and our problems, that God is able somehow to enrich us and help us to see it through. God said these words, that He would not lay upon us any more than we are able to bear. And He's not only talking about physical sickness, He's talking about temptation and a mold of other things. But God hasn't left us alone since we've been saved. He's still there. He still loves us. He still provides for us. So we are rich in the things that God provides to us. And then we are saved that we might possess eternal life. John 11:25-26, listen to the word. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me, though shall never die. He is saying that when we are born into the family of God, God has already, say already, already made preparation since we've been saved that we can spend an eternity in heaven in the presence of our Heavenly Father God and the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so He hasn't left us without help. Not only has God not forgotten us since we've been saved, but He has planned for the future for us. There's something about God. Let me tell you this. It'll tickle your fantasy. God knows what you're thinking right now. Can I get an amen? God knows your thoughts even before you think them. And God knows that if He tarries, He knows what you'll do tomorrow. You don't. I was telling Al. I said, Now, Lord, I know, you know it's raining outside. Because you send the rain. But I want to pray within your will. If it's within your will, would you stop the rain for the wedding outside today? And if it's not in your will, that's okay, I won't melt. Well, I didn't melt. But was I drowned? So live with God forever. Another thing He does, after we are saved, He accepts our daily trust in Him. In our text, the writer says these words, I will trust and I will not be afraid. I will trust in God. And if God is in charge, I'll not be afraid. Because I know that God walks with me. Afraid of what? Of course, of God. Because God loves us, and our concern is God's concern. But more so, we are to trust every day in the promises of God. In Numbers 23:19, hear the word of God. God is not a man that He should lie. He has spoken His promises, and He'll make them good. Amen. That's clear to us. Every day we need to trust in the promises of God. And remember before I said, and God promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is here. And He never, ever leaves us. Trust in God's provision. Not only can God provide our daily necessity, but also He can provide for our safety in the midst of problem. The Psalmist 91:4 said, listen what he said, I like this. I will cover you with the feathers of my wing. He's talking about protection. And we hear Jesus sometime later who weeps over a city as He looks down upon Jerusalem. And it applies to this verse of Scripture, protection from danger. For Jesus said, O Israel, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks? You know why? That when there's a noise or there's fighting, that the little pee-pees, we call them, run under the hen's wings because they believe that there is safety and protection there. In Numbers, he says that. Or in Psalms, he says that. Come under my wings, and I will give you the protection that the children of God need. Above all, trust in the plan of God. Oh, we're so mixed up sometimes. We're trying to do this, and we're trying to do that. We don't know which way to go, which way to turn. If we go right, left, front, forward, up, or down, we just don't know. But in the Christian life, if we will trust God's plan, trust God for direction in your life. Believe this. I'm telling you from experience. You can't walk as a Christian without God. And you never will be able to. You have got to put your trust in God. Trust in what? Trust in God's plan. And He shall guide and satisfy us. And He uses the word there that we need to hear. The word is continually. He will guide us. He will give us safety. He will provide for us continuously. And that word means without end at all times. And those who know God will possess that inner strength and a life of peace. Did you hear me? Those who know God. But I add another word. Those who know and serve God. Because when we fail to serve God, we do not have that peace that God can give. Because Bob tells us all the time, you ought to be here on Wednesday night. Because he tells us that when these things aren't happening, we're out of fellowship with God. And we need a renewed relationship with God. Bob, will you say amen? We need that. And God's children are cold and indifferent in these days, and we do need a renewed relationship with God and trust God's plan. Three, He provides daily strength. Psalmist said, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And who receives this strength? He again says it. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who love God. Those who follow God. Those who keep God's commandments. Those that give according to the plan of God. Those that serve according to the will and plan of God. They are those who receive the strength of God. And then he said, and I will run and I will not become weary. I will walk and I will not faint. Why? Because the everlasting arms of God hold me up and strengthen me. That's how Paul could say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you understand that scripture? Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Don't make sense. Yes, it does. It does because Paul said, when I'm weak, I receive the strength from God, and God is all strength. Amen. The strength is divine strength. It's a daily strength. And it is a determined strength. I want you to say this. Philippians 4:13, I know you know it by heart. I can. Say it. I can. I can. You're getting weak again. Folks, you want me to sit down and give you a rest? I can. There it is. Do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I want you to listen for just a moment. I believe that all things is not an absolute word. I believe it is a restrictive word in this sense. Only God can give life to the dead. We can't. And so what is the writer saying? What is Paul saying to the church at Philippi? Paul is saying this, all things that God permits or all things that God commands me to do, I can do through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I remember a story my father told about down in a coal mine one time. I don't know, you coal miners, correct me, they used to call them Negro heads. Am I right? Am I? And they've changed that now to something else because of the word Negro. But Dad had mentioned how that this big Negro head, and maybe some of you have seen them, fell on a fella and killed him years ago, and it broke. Now, to break is something else because I've hit him with sledgehammer. Can't seem to break, but some. but broke in four pieces. And he said that it took two men. A guy picked it up off him and threw it off of him. And when he threw it off him, that's when it broke, and it took two men for a quarter of it, I guess, is just the way the story goes. What a strength. What a strength that a man could pick it all, two men for a four. That is the kind of strength that God gives us when we're weak. God gives us a strength that we could never muster up without God. And so God permits these things. And only God can bring the dead to life, but you and I can do all things that God permits or that God commands us to do. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He gives us salvation from temptation. God is faithful, he said, and will not permit you to be tempted above what you're able to stand. Is there anybody here today that you're never tempted? You're never tempted? Never been tempted? Anybody? Boy, I'm glad, because I was going to tell you he wasn't a Christian. It's like the fellow that said that at the ordination, and I'll make it real fast, I need to get through here, but at the ordination, the old fellow answered all the questions good, and they said, you believe in the devil? You bet your life I don't believe in the devil. Ain't no such thing as the devil. So the elderly gentleman said, I think he's great, that's ordaining. And the committee said, we can't ordain him. Why can't we ordain him? He said, well, he don't even believe there's a devil. Because as soon as he starts preaching, he'll know there's one, that's ordaining. My friend, I'm going to tell you what. When you start serving God, the devil will begin to work on your life. And if he isn't working on your life, you better examine yourself and see how your relationship with God is. Salvation brings trial, Job 23:10. I believe that God has some times of testing. I want to tell you something. I would much rather God test me than my friend or cohort or any other group. Because God is a righteous judge. But let me tell you something. You take your friends and cohorts, other groups, and if they can't find something wrong with you, they'll manufacture something wrong with you. That's the way the world works. And so God doesn't do that. And so his friend said to him, and I paraphrase, Mister, you're in a lot of trouble. You have messed up. You have direly sinned, and God is punishing you for your sin. But when you and I read the story, you know that's not true, is it? We know that it was a time of testing for Job. And Job said, and when God has finished testing me, oh, what comfort. Oh, what love for God. When God is finished testing me, I will come out as gold. You say that today? If God tests me today, he puts me on trial, he does just the eensy, teensy, weensy, beensy bit of what he did to Job, I'll come out like gold, I'll be strong. Sometimes the trials that we come in and come out of just make us stronger. And that's why they're within the permissive will of God sometimes. There's something as I close. These things belong to us since we've been saved. They're yours. They're mine as sons of God. As part of the kingdom. As the church. They all belong to us. But there it is. There's that conjunction. But every day, every one of us must make some choices. And they're not big choices. They're simple choices, but you got to make them. Number one is, you can choose to serve God, or you can choose to be disobedient to God. And if you choose to serve God, he's there with the provisions. If you choose not to serve God, oh man, you've got to be miserable. I've been down that road too. Get a little away from God and he almost beat you to the thrashing floor. Why? Because he loves us. And so it is our decision that says if we will or will not have God's daily provisions in our lives. my wife. To me, the silliest things can happen. You know what she says? Thank you, Jesus. A parking spot for a handicap like me. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if we really are appreciative of all the things that God does in our daily life. It'll not hurt all of us. Even if you fall asleep in a chair, and some do, and you wake up, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the rest that I've awakened. You ever hear anybody say, I'm always doing good as long as I don't read my name in the obituary? I want to tell you something, my friend. You are doing good every time you open your eyes, but God is doing better because He's the one that caused it. Amen? And so, in the daily provision, let me close. Choose you this day, Joshua said, whom you'll serve. If you think it's right to serve God, serve God. Now, listen to this. Now, he's talking to a people that's got to make a choice, and so do you and I every day. You've got to make one this morning. But he says, if you feel that it is wrong to serve God, then serve the devil. My goodness. But you and I must make the choice. But the answer came back to Joshua. And the answer was this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to close with this statement. You can call it atheist. You can call it whatever you want. But I got the right word for it. Because I got the word from the Word of God. Are you listening? Everybody listening? The fool. Say fool. Say it again. Fool. Not the atheist, but the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And God doesn't stop with that line. He says something else. And they are corrupt. Why? Because they try to tell us and convince us that there is no God. And they succeed sometime. But I say to you that there is a God. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because you read the Bible. The Bible, no, not because I read it in the Bible, my friend, do I believe that there's a God. I believe that there's a God because He lives in me. You see, you can't convince me otherwise because He lives in me. So I know there's a God. But the fool says there's no God, and a lot of us try to believe that. But that's not true. I am God, and besides me there is no other. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am that I am. I am. Only you and God know your heart today. You say, I'm saved. I pray you are. And if you're not, I pray you will get saved before it's eternally too late. But remember this, just because you're saved, you become a babe in Christ. You need nourish. You need to grow. You need the milk of the Word to grow on. And so salvation doesn't end it. God carries on. Maybe you're here today, your life isn't what it should be. I don't know. But you and God know. Maybe you want to come and pray about it. Whatever it is that God speaks to your heart about, don't hesitate. Don't be bashful. Just do it. Mary said, whatever He, Jesus, tells you to do, do it. That's what Howard D. Wise teacher said. Whatever Jesus tells you to do this morning. Just have a song here, and the ladies come forward this morning. Make sure your mind and your heart is pure and clean. And that you confess. I'll tell you something. Those who fail God think that if they serve God, continue to serve God now, that He'll forgive it. No, my friend. Those who confess, He's faithful and just to forgive. And so, if you need forgiveness for anything, turn it over to God as we stand and sing, brother.